coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. What do we have this week? Well, we have a special treat. I know I say that every week. Oh, we have a special treat. But this really is special because this is my wife. We are going to be interviewing Sarah Coriel, a.k.a. Skip's wife. We're going to be talking about women and guns. Why are so many women resistant to the idea, even the idea of having a gun in the house? We're going to be talking about Sarah, who is a real live female, and getting her perspective on that. She may not be typical, but she did marry me. Oh, we've had a good week. We were in Northwest Wisconsin all last week visiting my 30-year-old daughter who just had her sixth child. She has four boys and two girls now. So, boy, I have a lot of grandkids. I think I've got 11 or 12 grandkids now. I kind of lose count of them. But, hey, I like being a granddad. It's just part of the whole family process. And I got to know all six of the grandchildren out there really, really well, because I had to watch them for 2 days while their mother, my daughter, was in the hospital giving birth. And oh boy, we're talking, I had five kids at home, four boys and a girl, and they're all under age seven. So, wow. Man, two kids in diapers and oh, I'll tell you, those boys, they're real boys, which is encouraging to me because it means that someday they'll be real men. They just, man, they are high energy. They run around like crazy, and boy, thank God I brought firearms with me. I had to keep them under control somehow. Yes, that was a joke. Don't worry. Now, we had a good time. I'll give you a night vision update. I still don't have night vision. I'm working on my wife. And I just might surprise her with the night vision scope or night vision monocular question today. Just see how she responds to that. But in the meantime, I've hired a mercenary to come in and take care of my rodent problem. This would be my nephew. My nephew Gabe comes over. He just lives a few miles away from here in this teeny tiny sleepy little town. And he loves to hunt and trap. He's been my deer hunting buddy for the last couple of years. So I said, hey, we'll put a $3 bounty on any rodent you can catch here. So far, he's got four possum and one rat. I paid the man what I owed him, and he does good work. I think he's, 18, 19 years old now. But he's a good kid. So that's plan B, just in case I don't get my night vision. That doesn't mean I'm not going to get my night vision. It just means I have a plan B. All right, let's get right into the news. We've got a lot to talk about today. I just had a class yesterday. I think we had 44 students. So now there are 44 newly trained and armed students here in the great state of Michigan. Had a great time out there. We froze our little heinies off. The forecast said rain, and I promised them it's not going to rain. Don't worry. This was April 14th, right? Springtime. I said, don't worry. The rain will end by 2 o'clock when we go out to the range. And it did. The rain did end, and then the temperature plummeted, and it snowed. So we were out there with a nice spring snow, but we had a good time. We froze our butts off, but we got through it. Everyone had a good time, and they got trained, got safe, and they know a little bit more about tactics now. So I hope to see some of those 44 students again this summer in some advanced training. But the reason I bring that up is this first article comes from clashdaily.com. That's Doug Giles's website. He's a White Feather Press author, and he's published, four or five books with us here at White Feather Press. He's published Raising Righteous and Rowdy Girls. He's published Pussification, the Effeminization of the American Male, Raising Boys That Feminists Will Hate. He drew a coloring book called The Coloring Book for College Crybabies. And then his latest just came out in December, My Grandpa's a Patriotic Badass. So Doug is very controversial, but you always know what he's thinking. And so this is off his clashdaily.com. It says, Ace Hardware just chose between Laura Ingraham and David Hogg. Here's the 411. I teach one of my classes every month at an Ace Hardware store. So this was interesting to me. Ace sized up the Ingraham-Hogg boycott issue, and they picked a side. Was it the right or wrong choice? With the news moving so quickly, it already seems so long ago. Do you remember that boycott David Hogg tried to hammer Laura Ingraham with? Ace Hardware was one of the many, many advertisers that caved to the political pressure that was supposedly David Hogg, but was, in reality, the large network of backers using him as their political mouthpiece, or if you prefer, political cudgel, to silence dissent. For a while it was working, her advertisers scattered like sheep. That's pretty typical. You know, when something like that happens, you find out who your friends are. But now, after some reflection, Ace Hardware has made an announcement about the future of their relationship with Laura Ingraham. This all came about after the Parkland massacre. Advertising on any network or show is in no way an endorsement from Ace of the content contained or spoken within that program. We appreciate the different points of view from our customers and believe people should be treated with respect and civility. At this time, we have not altered our current media schedule. This differed from the company's original statement, which said, I can confirm that we do not have any plans to nationally advertise on Ingraham's show in the future. It was made by the same spokesperson who later said the store was continuing its advertising. This announcement marks the first time any of the advertisers have backed out of their agreement to not work with the Fox News show. Laura Ingraham showed appreciation for the hardware store by tweeting that she will be buying a wheelbarrow and other gardening tools at Ace Hardware this weekend. Now, this is interesting because I know there are some Ace Hardware stores that have gun shops right inside them, and they sell guns as well. So, let me break this down for you. Here's what happened. There are probably some liberal elements in Ace Hardware in their leadership, in the higher echelons. And they said, hey, man, look at this terrible massacre. We have got to separate ourselves from anything that might connect us to this massacre. So they severed their ties with Laura Ingraham. And then they got a backlash from who? Their customers. Their customers said, hey, you don't want to associate with gun owners? Then I don't want to associate with you. And that's why they're backpedaling. Because in the end, it's almost always going to be the almighty dollar. They're in a business to make money. And if they stop making money, then they're going to make a change. They may really believe in the anti-gun agenda, but if they want their money, they'll keep their mouth shut. You know, my recommendation to businesses, except for businesses like mine, I mean, we're pro-gun. We stand or fall on pro-gun issues in the Second Amendment. But places that sell hammers and nails and cars or whatever, if you're a sheep, then just shut up. You don't have to take a stand either way. Be apolitical. Just stay out of politics if you want your bottom line to be healthy. Because no matter which side you choose, you're going to lose half your clientele. So just shut up and be good at whatever service you provide. That's my advice. All right, now here's something that was interesting. I got this from BearingArms.com. This is a pro-gun dating website. Once upon a time, if you used an internet dating site to meet someone, you didn't need to worry too much about politics. Boy, is that ever true. But, 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, You didn't marry someone based on politics. You weren't excoriated because of your politics. You weren't shunned and ostracized or boycotted because of your politics. You had the right to believe what you wanted to believe and espouse your beliefs and talk about your beliefs. It's almost like it was America. But man, you sure can't do that anymore. A lot of crazy people out there that are just waiting for you to open your mouth and say what you think so that they can make fun of you. Anyways, I digress. It wasn't considered a deal breaker most of the time, after all, and if it was, then you didn't go out with that person again. You just moved on. However, times change. Today, in addition to waxing nostalgically about the good old days of internet dating, how long's it been around? The good old days is when you'd actually meet a woman face-to-face, you know, like at work or at college or whatever, and you actually had a face-to-face conversation. Your first interaction was, hey, you're a person, I'm a person. Hey, you want to go have a cup of coffee? Now you have to meet online first and be thoroughly vetted. Crazy. We also have to consider political positions on things like guns and gun rights while trying to find a potential mate, which is where a new website comes into play. The name of this website, by the way, is ProGunDating.com. ProGunDating.com. A lady by the name of Clark started this website. Now, you know what? Rather than just read through a boring article, let's just launch the website. Let's go to this website, ProGunDating.com, and we'll see what it has to say. All right, it pops up there. There's a man and a woman. The woman is holding a gun. And I think her finger's off the trigger, so that's good. It says, view singles now. 100% free registration. Premier dating service for singles who support the Second Amendment. Now, you know, before I go any further, this is only for unmarried people, okay? So you guys that are married out there, don't start looking around. You've got a wife you've already committed to. So you stay home. Don't go to ProGunDating.com. This is just for the single people who advocate the Second Amendment and who love to shoot. It says, find a match in minutes. And then it says, I am a straight man. 50 years ago, we'd have read that and said, a straight man. Oh, so they don't have scoliosis? What does that mean? Don't have curvature of the spine? Straight man, straight woman, bisexual man, bisexual woman, lesbian woman, gay man. Don't even get me started. All right, let's move on. Stand with the Second Amendment together. Okay, and you scroll down. Okay, now here's this picture here. On the right side, you've got a drop-dead gorgeous brunette, and all she's clothed in is the American flag. I highly doubt that she is representative of all of the women that are on this website. But hey, it's marketing, right? It's like, yeah, I'm looking for a pro-Second Amendment fat, ugly woman. You know, the fatter, the uglier, the better. And I want her to have a lousy personality, too. Enjoy your American rights as a couple. As politics become more polarizing in 2018 and beyond, it's not uncommon for one's political views to dictate the makeup of their social circle, including the dating pool. You know, the dating pool these days, it's like a dating cesspool. You got to be real careful out there. How long would your relationships last if you found out the person you were dating hated Americans who cherished the Second Amendment? You know, about one nanosecond. I'd say, oh, you're telling me I can't have a gun in my own house? There's the door. Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out the door, okay? Needless to say, it would likely rule out any possible dates at a gun range. That's a good date, by the way. But more importantly, it would also severely dampen the prospect of a long-term relationship. Yeah, it should. It should. You know, folks, I can't tell you how many men I will run across who want to take a concealed pistol license class, but their wife won't let them. And, you know, I used to be really sympathetic and just say, well, you know, I'm really sorry. Maybe you just need to give her more time. You know, now my attitude is, listen, buddy, you know, are you a man or are you a snowflake? You know, reach down, grab some scrote, gird up your loins here and just say, honey, I love you, but this is my human right, and I'm going to take my human right. I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. I love you, but this is my choice, not yours. And I know that's probably not popular with a lot of men. I mean, that old saying, happy wife, happy life, it's true. Would a man get grief for that? You bet. He'd get a lot of grief for that. But, you know, do you want to be a man, a real man? A real man doesn't let his wife tell him whether or not he can protect himself. Jeez, oh, Pete's. I have less patience for that kind of thing. You know, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the next two segments with my wife, Sarah. Because if Sarah had been anti-Second Amendment, we would not have three kids together right now. Trust me on that one. That was my third marriage. And the third time around, oh gosh, did I hit a gold mine, because Sarah is just incredible. She's perfectly matched for me, and she tolerates me. So it's, for me, it's a really good deal. But hey, that's ProGunDating.com. And again, that's only for single men and women, okay? If you're in a committed relationship, then you stay off this website. But you know, in the day that we live in, it's a good idea to find out what people's politics are before you marry them. Otherwise, you could be in for some really rough years and maybe a really nasty divorce, because politics just seems to be all driving these days. Okay, we are going to be coming back in segments 2 and 3 with none other than my wife, Sarah Coryell. We're going to be talking about women and guns. She's going to try and shed some light for us on why some women do not want to carry a gun and who are terrified by guns. Okay, we've got a two-minute break. Head out to our sponsors, elitefirearms.us, and then go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. Check them all out. And only the single people, check out ProGunDating.com. Okay, this is Skip Coryell on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coryell. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coryell. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coryell from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coryell, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coryell. As promised, we have Sarah Coryell, a.k.a. my wife, here in the studio. Most of the listeners don't really know anything about you, so why don't you start out with just a little bit of background on who is Sarah Coryell?
Well, thank you for inviting me to talk today. I'm from the West Coast. I grew up in Oregon, lovely little town on the coast, and then I went to college in Seattle and went into the field of engineering. I liked that a lot. And then after we had our third child, I decided to change gears and give up engineering for a while and go into homeschooling our kids. So that was kind of a big change.
Weren't you afraid of what the feminists would think about doing something like that?
Well, I'd left Oregon behind for some time by that point.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Besides, I saw that they needed it, so
okay,
it didn't really matter. Right. Yeah, that was kind of me. So now I'm homeschooling, have been for a few years now. And
to get a little better idea of who you are deep down inside, why exactly, I mean, you had this great career in electrical engineering, aerospace, and automotive, and it was all exciting stuff. why did you give all that up to stay home and teach three snot-nosed little kids?
Well, I don't see them as snot-nosed little kids, for that's one. But my first love is my God, and that's the truth of it. He gave me engineering for a time, and then he gave me kids. And when I saw that the kids needed better guidance than what I believe the public schools were able to give them, and more stability at home than I thought they were able to get without a mom in the home. Well, I mean, I was in the home at night, but that hardly counts, a couple hours. I didn't think that was enough. So I felt that he was calling me to something else. And I keep asking him if it's stayed the same, and he keeps saying yes. So I stay here, even though sometimes I miss engineering. It was awesome. But I love homeschooling the kids, and I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be right now.
All right. Well, fantastic. Okay. Now, you're from the West Coast. I'm from the Midwest. There's a little bit of a difference there.
We don't like the same foods.
That's right. Don't like the same foods. People on the West Coast, they're more discriminating when it comes to coffee. And they're very particular about their pets.
Fish.
Yeah, right. The salt air, the mountains, all that. I love all that stuff, too. I just think it's unfair that all those liberals on the West Coast get all the beautiful scenery, and we're stuck here the flatlands.
They have the best trees.
Yeah, it's just not fair.
Yeah. Well, our apple trees are pretty good, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah. What was it like growing up on the West Coast, on the Newport, Oregon, right there on the ocean? Society is a little different there. It's not quite California yet. What was it like growing up there?
Well, it's kind of lonely. I was part of a conservative Christian bubble, small little group. And most of the people that I came into contact with at school and just in general didn't understand us at all, and we didn't understand them. And
what was the attitude there as far as guns go?
What's a gun?
Good one, sir.
No, thank you. No, we had a gun. My dad had a 22 rifle that we were not to touch, but he showed us where it was. It was rusted. It never left the closet. And I had a cousin from the big city, from Portland, who brought out a pistol that when we shot it at night and there was like flame that would come out of it. He thought that was so cool. So, guns weren't banned or anything in my family, and we didn't really talk about it much in school. I mean, this was a while ago now, so.
Yeah. So this was, you've been out of high school for...
I graduated in 94.
In 94. Okay. So it's been 20 some years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so your family wasn't anti-gun, but they weren't pro-gun.
It wasn't an issue.
It just wasn't even on the radar.
No. I mean, Newport at that time felt very safe. There was no reason to be concerned about getting accosted just because you were going to Fred Meyer, and the schools were safe. We didn't have a guard. I mean, there was a secretary that would greet you. You know, it was...
Well, 25 years ago, things were different. The one thing that strikes me when we go there to visit is the incredible amount of homeless people there.
I don't remember that. I think that's new.
That's new? Okay.
When I was in high school, there was a group of Hispanic immigrants that came and joined our high school. And that was the first time that, like, the outside world seemed to affect Newport.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching them walk all together in a big group down the hall of the high school and thought, oh, that's different. And I felt a little afraid, just a little, not...
Yeah.
I mean, they never did anything bad. It was just, like, we couldn't understand them, and they all walked in a big, huge mass, and they took the middle of the hallway, and...
Yeah.
It was just weird.
Well, Oregon, the state of Oregon, is a little bit confusing. You know, it's like it's polarized. You've got the eastern half that's, what, high desert?
Yeah.
And very rural.
Yeah. Well, tourism in Bend, but mostly rural, yeah, ranches and stuff.
Yeah, and it seems very conservative over there.
I think so, yeah.
But then up, you get close to the coast, and then certainly in Portland,
Not conservative anymore.
Yeah, not conservative at all. But Oregon still has a shall issue concealed carry law, so if people want to carry for personal protection, they are legally allowed to do it. It just seems like most of the people don't.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone in Oregon who carries a gun?
I don't know. We don't talk about it.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's like a not really a verboten subject, but just... still not on the radar.
They're worried about religious freedom and being able to speak their religious opinions, because that is what is on the line out there. So, yeah, it's more for the hearts and minds and opinions of people, but the gun issue just isn't... I'm sure it is an issue among some of the people, but not the people among whom I move. So,
okay.
Maybe their husbands.
All right. Well, hey, now let's talk about... You went from there to Michigan. Michigan is different. How would you describe Michigan? And pay no attention to the fact that most people listening right now are from Michigan. So you don't have to worry about offending anyone.
Right, right.
Well,
no traps.
How would you?
No, nothing.
a woman from the West Coast, how would that woman describe Michigan?
Well, when I first came here, it was a wonderful relief to be able to talk about the, you know, God and church and the things that are most dear to me, even at work. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that. I had never experienced that before, and it was freedom I'd never known, and I really, really liked that. The culture is a little different. I miss sushi everywhere. And but, you know, sushi versus some religious freedom, it's, you know, yeah. And we had freedom of religion, or it was not that. It's just, it was so uncool to be Christian that it's kind of hard to explain it.
Yeah. It's like Christianity isn't banned on the West Coast.
It's just not cool.
It's not cool. It's frowned upon. You might be ridiculed for it.
As long as you keep it to yourself, it's okay. But as soon as you say anything.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about the important things like meat and potatoes.
How would you like to approach that subject?
I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. I mean, I grew up here in the Midwest, and that's what we eat.
Well, the grill is fabulous. It rained all the time in Newport, and I have to say grilling wasn't a big deal out there because, well, it really did rain all the time.
Yeah.
And grilling in the rain is no fun.
Yeah.
So I like the grill. The grill is nice.
What possessed a girl like you from the West Coast to marry a guy like me?
Oh, you want that story on your radio show?
I want that story.
Well,
if it's not good, I can edit it out.
When you first met me, of course, I was married to my ex-husband, and you were recovering from your...
Oh, just for the listeners, I didn't shoot him.
Okay? No, he didn't. No, kidding.
Keep going.
I'm kidding. And you were recovering from your second divorce, and shortly after we met, my first marriage ended, and we got to know each other then, and I was looking for somebody who knew how to be a man of God, and knew how to be faithful, and knew how to keep those things in the right priority and not get distracted by all the enticing temptations in our culture, which are strong and powerful.
Hmm.
And when I knew that you could...
That surprises me, because I thought you were going to say, you know, honey, you were just so incredibly handsome and virile and masculine that I knew I couldn't do any better. You're not going to say anything. Okay.
Love you too.
Okay. All right. So it was my commitment to God, family, loyalty, those things.
I listened to your story and knew you knew how to be faithful. That's
all right,
what I
well.
Wanted. And that's hard to find.
Well, that's true. That's true. It is. And having been divorced twice from women who were less than faithful, I understand that. And I really appreciate that as well.
Me too. Thanks.
You're welcome. Now, to get even more serious, the first thing that attracted you to me was just how gorgeous you are. You are drop dead gorgeous. I mean, beautiful brunette, curly hair, a beautiful
going gray
face.
Now. Wrinkles. Thank you. But...
That's right. She's all of 41 years old, and I'm 60. But I loved your personality. I still love your personality. What I was really looking for was a woman of God, because I'd tried the antithesis of that, and it just did not work. And so I was looking for someone with Christian values, with family values, someone who was happy and who had a Christian upbringing. And boy, I tell you, I hit the jackpot when I met you.
Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. I'm not just saying that because we're on the air. I'm saying that because it's absolutely true. All right. Well, we're about out of time for this segment, but When we come back into segment three, I want to talk about women and guns, and hopefully, because you're a woman, you can shed some light on that for us. But
a little light. I'm only one of many, many, many.
Okay. All right. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. You got a 2-minute break here. While we're gone, check out our sponsors, ElitePhirearms.us, and see what Larry Jackson can do for you in choosing the best personal defense gun for your family. And then also go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and get your family protected legally from the criminal justice system. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel, and we are speaking with the most important woman in my life, Sarah Coriel, my wife. Sarah, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hi, Skip. Good to be here.
Okay. All right, honey. This is a little bit clumsy because, hey, this is the woman I sleep with every single night. We're together all day long. But, you know, when I'm out here in the garage doing the show or publishing a book or writing a book, she doesn't really have a big window into what I actually do. So I'm glad that you get to be a part of it today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. It is.
All right. Now, Sarah.
Yes.
I'm a man.
Good.
Yeah. You're a woman. You know, there are some people who are confused about that. So it's important to get that out of the way. I'm a man. You're a woman.
Yes.
I don't totally understand women and the way they think.
Well, the mind is a complicated thing.
Is it?
Yes.
My mind is pretty simple. Oh. You understand me, right?
No.
No? We've been married for almost 14 years now?
If I understood you, I'd never make you angry.
Oh, okay. That's one of the things she doesn't understand about me. She doesn't understand that when I get angry, I'm mad for about 2 minutes. And then it's water off a duck's back. I totally forget about it. I move on. And then 4 hours later, she's crying in the corner. I say, honey, what is wrong with you? Well, you're mad at me. Said, no, I'm not. That was like 2 hours ago. Honey, you're going to have to figure that out. I don't stay mad. And the things I get mad at usually have nothing to do with you because you're so incredible.
Oh, well, thank
okay?
you.
Okay? Just remember that.
Maybe you should tell me that more often.
Okay. All right. All right. Women are different. I run into a lot of men, they want to get their concealed pistol license or they want to buy a gun and their wife won't let them.
Yeah, I hear this.
I don't understand women like that. it seems like most women are afraid of guns. What is going on?
I don't know if it's fear or if it's something they can't control. I can only speak for myself, so I don't really want to, and I'm not like that, so I don't want to answer. I think I might know some women who are a little that way, and the women that I do know that are like that are kind of heavy-handed women anyways. They like to be a little bit, you know, have it all under control where they think they've got it all in an orderly place, and guns are not, you know, easily controllable, and if you make a mistake, it's a really big consequence, and so if you like to have it all neat and in a box and orderly, then a gun is not going to make you feel safe because...
Well, yeah, they don't know anything about it. They've probably never shot a gun before. The women that you know who will not allow guns in their house.
Really limited number here. I don't know a lot of women that are like that because...
What about in Oregon?
They're gentler. So the women that wouldn't allow a gun are like your strong, dominant, they're the matriarch of the home type women. So
they wear the pants in the family.
Kind of. I think that, yeah, but see, for myself, part of getting married means that I wanted to feel safe and protected. And I feel like if you don't allow your husband the tools he needs to make you feel safe, then you're hamstringing the one who was, you know, brought into your home to protect you.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, you know,
I don't really understand that. I think that the women who don't want their husbands to carry guns must have not gotten married for that reason.
Well, I think they're, I don't know, you can tell me your opinion, but I think some of the women are just petrified of guns because I'll have women on the firing line and it's like all they know about guns is what they've seen on television and what they've heard on the news.
Oh, the news is bad that way, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're terrified. They think that the gun is going to jump up, run around, and start shooting people.
Yeah.
And I've seen women actually break into tears when it was time for them to pick up the gun.
Really?
And shoot. Yes,
it's
that bad.
I've never experienced that, and haven't seen it firsthand. So, I mean, if I could watch it firsthand, I might understand. Maybe you're right. Maybe she just has a bad memory. I mean, if you had a bad memory, if someone abused a gun in your, you know, environment, if you were maybe grew up in the inner city and heard it all the time, then you would have fear associated with that item. And then whenever you touch it or around it, all that fear would cloud back, you know, just come back over you like a tumult, and then you'd be afraid.
Yeah, and I think with women, the way you process things, from an emotional approach, and that seems to give things more power. When there's feelings attached to a gun, like as in fear is an emotion.
Right. There was no fear for me. I mean, I was introduced to it in a calm, orderly, almost fun way, and then I met you, and it was part of how you made your home safe, and I understood that.
Well, and it was how I
provided
for my family, too.
Right, hunting. So guns for me, any emotional, was always positive, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, if my first contact with guns had been frightening in any way, it would be a totally different story.
So is it safe to assume that there are at least, there's probably a whole bunch of different reasons that women are, you know, afraid of guns or don't want guns in their house. One is they're always scared to death that the kids will be shot by guns.
Right.
And I've never understood that because all you have to do is lock the guns up.
Mm-mm. That's been my worry, too. Of all the worries that I've had to deal with, that's the one that, for a time even, I did carry much, much less than you might have liked me to. Because I had kids, I had two small kids who went through purses about the same time some poor woman got shot by her own toddler out in Idaho, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Idaho.
Yeah, it was Idaho.
So, and I had two kids who were going through my purse at that same time. So, you know, and you wanted me to carry it on my, you know, on a holster on my body. I have body problems. You know, I have scoliosis. My back is a real issue, and I didn't want, you know, a holster on my body. I wanted it in my purse. So that was just complicated for me. So the carrying, I think sometimes the carrying for women is a little bit more difficult. Not all women, strong women, maybe not so much, but...
Because of the slighter frame.
Also, women are always weight conscious. I mean, it's a thing. It's part of being a woman. You're always worried about your weight. And the last thing you want is some big bulky thing on your waist, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then your purse is always heavy already, loaded down with a million things, you know, so it's kind of a pain to carry even an extra couple of pounds. It's just like, ugh, seriously? It's, you know, it seems, but you're stronger, you're bigger. It feels different on you. I'm sure that just the body style itself makes it harder for women. But then also we have little kids hanging on us all the time. And, you know, they've got hands everywhere and you can't always watch all the hands. And they're curious and they're supposed to be curious. But so that's, to me, that's an issue that it's not that the woman is against the guns or, you know, anything like that. It's just her life is barely under control as it is. And it's the control thing again.
Yeah.
But if you can't make it safe to carry the gun, then you're not helping your kids by endangering them with this, you know, firearm sticking around. So.
Yeah. Well, I would agree. If you can't keep the gun away from the kids, you shouldn't have the gun. But it's just one more thing. And it sounds like you're telling me that, hey, my life is so busy already. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm homeschooling the kids. And you're not typical. Most women are out there working with a job, plus trying to do a lot of the things that you're already doing.
In the after hours, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for them, it's even more difficult.
Yeah, well, in the home is one thing. But I think for me, the stress is trying to take the gun and the kids to the store or to the zoo mm-hmm. or to anywhere. Because there's just so many things to juggle. I mean, you lose one sippy cup and then somebody doesn't have a drink for the next 4 hours. I mean, it's, you got to keep track of so many things and then have this one thing that's super important. Oh, and then you lost your keys. Well, no, that's another big problem, you know, and yeah. then you're fishing around for whatever. And I know perfectly well I won't have a hand free even if I need it. So even if I have my gun on me, I feel like I won't be able to get to it if I did need it anyways.
Yeah. Well, it
becomes frustrating.
You're making me tired just listening to all of that. Because it's like there's all these different things. It's like, okay, yeah, we forgot the sippy cup. For me, it's like, this is not a big deal. You stop, you buy them a Mountain Dew.
Yeah, but you don't do that with toddlers. Yeah.
Okay. And that's why you're raising the kids, and I'm trying to make the money to support the family. All right, now tell me, your husband, you know, I know the guy. He's inflexible.
Yeah,
he's
intelligent.
All of those things, too. But he wants you to carry a gun.
Yeah.
More than you do now. Why don't you carry a gun more?
Actually, I've been pretty good about it lately.
Actually, you have been very good about it. I mean, we got the whole purse carry thing worked out.
Yes, that was a big deal. We had to come to a compromise on a way to carry. That's part of it right there.
Yeah.
Right? How to carry on my body
frame. We had to keep the kids safe from guns, and we had to let you carry in a way that didn't hurt you physically because mm-hmm. of your back.
Right.
And that you could also have it accessible. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You had an experience just like a week ago.
I did.
That kind of, you tell me about the experience. What did that experience do for you emotionally and mentally?
It gave me a chance to have a dry run on what it might be like to have somebody try to attack us. I mean, I usually make eye contact with people when we pass them. And this particular person, I made eye contact and he didn't take it the way I expected him to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure quite what happened. But anyways, him and his friend kept coming in and out of the room we were in at the museum, the public museum, so it was free to get in. I think that might have been part of the problem. Anyways, so there were these two, they were ruffians, I don't know how else to say it, because they were definitely up to trouble. They kept coming into the room that we were in, and then as we were exiting, they went around it was like an L-shaped exhibit, and they went back through the other end of the L to come and meet us.
They went away, and then we tried to leave.
But they tried to cut us off in a way that would have made them meet us in the elevator to go down.
Yeah.
And they were two big guys, and even when they saw me with you, they didn't seem to be alarmed by that at all.
They didn't immediately back off. They
no.
kept coming back.
I know that they saw that we were together before mm-hmm. that, even in the dark room, because they came in, and I made it obvious with body language that I was with you. I mean,
yeah. Well, and here's what's encouraging to me. You recognize these guys as a threat before I recognize them as a threat.
I saw it in his eyes when I first looked at him.
Yeah.
He gave me this, it was a weird, creepy look he gave me.
Yes.
And I knew right away something was wrong. And then when they came back in, that's when I got really freaked out.
Well, I keep telling you, you are a really good-looking woman, but you're so humble, you don't see that.
Okay.
But guys, they're going to give you a different look than they give me.
Well, but it's not always like this. This guy was a creep, okay?
Yeah.
The look in his eyes was like, I'm going to eat you now. You know,
yeah. Well, he was a wolf. He was a wolf. I remember.
He was a snake. He was very,
okay.
He was very bad. Yes.
Well, a snake can eat you too if it's big enough. But what I remember, we passed each other, and I watched them out of the corner of my eye, and they looked at me. And like they were, okay, what's
sizing
me up?
Well, they were taller than you. Both of them were. They're big guys, and they were probably in their early 20s, late teens.
Yeah, well, they definitely, physically, they were superior mm-hmm. to me. But they left, so I didn't give it a second glance. I was tied up with the kids. That's where two sets of eyes really come in handy.
Yeah.
And like you said, they looked at you differently than they looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
So you did a great job. You
Thanks.
Notified me of the threat, and then we took evasive action. We went on high alert. Even the kids helped out.
when I told you, Cedar, I didn't even try to tell Cedar, but some our 12-year-old son, he heard me say, did you notice those two guys? And he went on high alert. And it took, honestly, it took all three of us working together to keep the little kids safe because they were tired and they weren't paying attention. And it was a good thing we had six pairs of hands working together because one of them almost ran away.
And that your personality loves teamwork.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, we don't have a family. We have a fire team. So if you're in, you know, we're in the military, you understand what I'm talking about there. Honey, we are out of time now for this segment. And you are baking a pie.
Two
pies. Okay. Well, I certainly look forward to that. We're going to sign off on this segment. When we come back on segment four, of course, I'll do what I always do. I'll tell you what I really think about all of this. And my wife never listens to the show.
I can.
Oh, you do?
Yes. So don't be nice.
Well, then I guess I better be
you
careful
better
what I
say. Better mind your P's and Q's. That's right.
All right. Okay. All right, folks. We've got a two-minute break. Go to firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Check out what Terry Johnson can do for you legally. And then go to elitefirearms.us and check out Larry Jackson's website. Okay, take off on that two-minute break. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's home defense. Fence Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Roland, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil does exist, and someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If you're not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, when someone says that justice system is enough to protect you, point to this Kentucky incident as evidence that a protective order sometimes isn't enough. Just weeks after his arrest led to an issuance of an order to stay away from his ex-wife, the man tried to break into her home. After the miscreant broke the glass on the front door and started fiddling with the lock, the ex-wife yelled through the door to stop or her boyfriend would shoot. The ex-husband paid the threat no mind and was fatally shot. Police were investigating, but no charges have been filed in what appeared to be an act of self-defense. That sounds to me, Roland, like a case of first-degree idiocy. What kind of person would want to go after, one, an ex-wife? Okay, I can see vengeance. But when there's an armed boyfriend, I mean, come on, I don't know. What do you think?
This is a lose-lose scenario. Nobody wins here, unfortunately. I, first of all, can't imagine being in a situation where you're killing somebody that you were married to at one time. I mean, you can't get much more personal than that.
That's true. But unfortunately, there are a lot of couples that end up breaking up, and often there's some bad blood. And while I've never experienced that, I don't doubt that it's true and it's real. And I can imagine bad feelings, and there's always money involved and touching the kids and all that kind of stuff. But to come out of it wanting to break into someone's house, and then when somebody inside says, I've got a gun, and that doesn't stop you, good grief.
Well, this might be a good indication of why they're no longer together. I mean, that man did not just all of a sudden decide to be like that. There's no question. That obviously was predisposed to not care about boundaries at all. And it's unfortunate that somebody got killed, and it's unfortunate, obviously, that the boyfriend ended up having to shoot this guy. But what else would they have done? What was the alternative? Wait for the cops?
Yeah. You know, certainly, if I were the boyfriend, if I were dating this lady and somebody started breaking in and she identified who it was and was in fear of her life, and I don't know who this guy is, I don't know whether I can take him out physically or any kind other kind of way. Yeah, I'm in fear for our lives. And if I were carrying, yes, that's what self-defense is, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and that is why we do arm ourselves, isn't it?
That's why I do. I like to think I'm a big, rough, tough airborne ranger like I was when I was 23 years old and graduated from ranger school. But at 76, I'm just not quite as strong. But a gun is a great equalizer.
It absolutely is.
So there we are, folks. We encourage you to be armed and trained.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. I think those last two segments were really good. However, I got to tell you, interviewing your wife on the radio is a scary proposition because she knows me better than anybody else in the whole wide world. I mean, think about it, guys. Your wife has seen you at your worst. And interviewing her on the radio is a little bit scary. I mean, she's seen me do stupid things and say stupid things. And you have to really trust your wife before you bring her on your radio show. And I trust Sarah implicitly. There's no one I trust more than my wife. And I love her very much. So, hey, honey. If you're listening, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Definitely a different perspective. Speaking of perspective, this is the part where I tell you my perspective. Here's what I really think. Okay, let's get something clear right out of the box. I don't understand women, and women don't understand men. Of course, there are a few exceptions to that rule, but it is what it is, and all of us have to figure out how to live with one another. Here's what I've learned over the course of three marriages. Women need to feel loved, nurtured, and protected. Modern society has raised several generations of women, telling them they don't need a man, that men are scum, that they can't be depended on, and if you need a man, then you must be a weak woman and not one of the approved, popular people in your gender. But as you can see, my wife, Sarah, doesn't buy into that, despite the fact she grew up on the West Coast. I, for one, am incredibly grateful for that, and I want to take a moment to thank my in-laws for raising her to be a godly, family-centered woman who doesn't hate men and fear firearms. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that Sarah doesn't understand me, but that's okay. Because for the most part, she accepts me the way I am and chooses to respect me and treat me as an equal. I appreciate that, and it allows me to respect her even when she does unreasonable things like giving me dirty looks when I want to spend $500 on a night vision scope for my AR-15. Imagine the nerve of some women. Can you believe it? Respect is the one thing that men can't do without. If a man feels disrespected, then it's like he's underwater and someone just stepped on his air hose. It's the same way for women, but they need love first and respect second. I'm here to tell you folks that men and women are different. They're equal, but they're different. I had a couple at my CPL class yesterday, and the husband approached me at range time to tell me that his wife was going home because she wasn't ready to shoot a gun yet. I was concerned, so I asked him if I had offended her in some way. He assured me that I had not, that she just wanted more time to get used to the idea of guns. On a feelings level, I don't understand that, even though I understand it intellectually. I told him to call me when she was ready, and the three of us would head to the range and get it taken care of. Here's what I think is happening to our women. They are being sold a bill of goods by the media, by Hollywood, and by our politicians that just isn't true. From the time of their birth, they are taught that they are more likely to die from a legally owned gun inside their own home than by a home invader. Of course, this just isn't true, but that doesn't matter. The things that we're taught as children stick with us forever, and it's very tough to elicit change when feelings and fear are the driving motivators. And once a woman has children, the ante is upped, because now their kids are going to be murdered, not by the home invader, but by the gun locked up in the gun safe. Folks, that's crazy talk. A loaded gun inside a gun safe is just that, safe. But it's hard to combat emotions with facts and reason. Once a woman truly believes that guns are evil, well, she may never change. But here's the encouraging part. Women are just as smart as men. And once they are told the facts, they begin to question the lies of the far anti-gun left. I see it every month in my classes. More and more women are choosing to buy and carry and train with firearms, and I find that to be the most encouraging sign. Women are the fastest growing demographic in the gun culture, and that is cause for joy and hope. Why? For several reasons. First, women and children are the most vulnerable in our society. They are physically weaker than men, and they are usually the primary caretakers of our children. On average, women spend more time with kids than men. On average, women spend more time with kids than do men, whether they're at home, childcare, or at public school. I'm reminded of the old saying, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." That old saying came from a poem written by a man, William Ross Wallace, born in 1819 and died in 1881. The first verse of the poem goes like this. "Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Women need to be revered, protected, and held in high esteem, because they are important, they are priceless, and humanity could not survive without them. Second, women comprise the majority of the voting population, and if they want the Second Amendment to go away, then it will eventually be repealed. If they want stricter gun laws, they will vote them in, and short of civil war, men will be powerless to stop that. And none of us want that. I relish women on the gun range. They belong there as much as men, if not more. They have a greater need for the gun and gunfighting skills than us men. I want to encourage all men everywhere to teach the women you love how to protect and defend themselves and their families. Do you see how my wife and I work together? That can be yours as well. But men, you need to respect your wife and to encourage her to master the ways of the gun. Be patient and let her go at her own pace. I tell you, it's a joy to see a woman enter the gun range afraid of the gun and to leave the range laughing and excited about her new skill and empowerment. As a man, I just love the smell of napalm in the morning. But almost as much, I love the smell of perfume on the gun range. Men, do not resist the change. Embrace it. Love it. Have fun with it, because it's a necessary change and good for all society. We need more women to stand up and take their rightful place as protectors and defenders. I am so proud of my Sarah. She's my friend, my lover, and my comrade in arms. What more could any man want? And that's what I really think. Okay, folks, we're about out of time here on the Home Defense Show, but next week we are going to have Tom Lambert, the president of Michigan Open Carry, and he's going to be updating us on their recent Michigan Supreme Court case, which will determine the fate of all gun owners, not just open carry people, but also concealed carry people. He's going to tell us how the hearing went at the Michigan Supreme Court and what the prospects might be for all of us gun owners here in Michigan. All through next week, I want you to remember our sponsors, elitefirearms.us and firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Check them out. And of course, don't forget to check out my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book, and learn how to protect the ones you love. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!